Could there be some movement on financial regulatory reform?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. There could be a deal in the Senate on Wall Street regulations, and it involves a proposed new entity inside the Federal Reserve to oversee consumer financial products. Now, some supporters of financial regulatory reform, including President Obama, wanted a separate agency to do that, but the idea never really got off the ground. Maybe it was a lobbying blitz by the financial industry that had something to do with it. Here's reporter Brett Neely with more.
If you want to sink an idea in Washington these days, an attack ad can help. This one, funded by the Chamber of Commerce, says small business owners are already sleepless due to the economy.
Now Washington wants to make it worse with the CFPA, a massive new federal agency that will create more layers of regulation and bureaucracy.
Ads like this are the tip of the iceberg when it comes to influencing lawmakers. The financial industry spent nearly $500 million sending lobbyists to Capitol Hill last year. Dave Leventhal is with the Center for Responsive Politics.
Despite the economy being as rotten as it was in 2009, they spent more money on lobbying in 2009 than they even did in 2008, which to a lot of people is pretty remarkable.
And he says they're on track to spend even more this year. Then there's campaign contributions. The financial industry has already given over $100 million to congressional election campaigns this November. The center's data shows that in 2009, the industry gave Democrats $58 million and Republicans $44 million. Democrat Chris Dodd and Republican Richard Shelby run the Senate Banking Committee. They've pulled in a combined $20 million from the industry over the course of their careers. Are the banks getting what they want from the bill? Scott Talbot lobbies for the Financial Services Roundtable.
We're pleased with the trend and the way the discussions are going.
And it's not just banks that are lobbying against a regulator to protect consumers. Some of the other groups that have lobbied against the idea include McDonald's, Walmart, and the Society of American Florists. In Washington, I'm Brett Neely for Marketplace.
Let's check numbers. Not much movement on overseas markets. European shares mixed right now. Asian markets closed mostly higher today. The Nikkei gained 0.5% on news that Japan's unemployment rate dropped. On Wall Street, the Nasdaq tacked on 1.5% yesterday. The Dow added 78 points to close at 10,403. And we're going to see how the market reacts today to automobile manufacturers' numbers that are released throughout the day. Today, Chile's biggest winemaker announced it's going to halt production for at least a week. Concha y Toro exports millions of dollars in wine to the United States every year. Last weekend's deadly 8.8 earthquake not only damaged its winery, but also the country's transportation network. And that's just one example of how Chile's economic gears have slowed. Andrea Stiglich is correspondent with the Economist Intelligence Unit, and she's with us this morning from London. Good morning.
Good morning.
How much of Chile's exports affect what we have here in the United States? I mean, is it a lot? Are we talking agriculture, food, copper, those things?
Copper is about 50% of Chile's exports, and that is actually not the hardest hit. Worse is wine production, which is in the center of the affected regions, and that's something that you get in the U.S. Fisheries is another sector that has been greatly affected because of the damage done to the ports. The port of Talcahuano in particular, where the tsunami hit after the quake.
Where the tsunami hit, so things can't get out of the port. It's not things coming into Chile, it's things going out, right?
At the moment, it's both ways. So in particular, in the port of Talcahuano, where a lot of rebuilding will have to take place before activity can resume. But Chile has many other ports, and certainly Talcahuano is not the main one. So it will reestablish trade relations in the next few days.
We know about the copper and also the agricultural aspect of its economy. How diversified is the economy in Chile? Can it overcome something like this?
It certainly can. It is diversified enough in terms of trade partners, but it is still going to be gravely affected in terms of employment. But Chile is in a good position to rebuild, and Chile can recover. It is well placed to recover from something like this.
Andrea Stiglich is a correspondent in London with the Economist Intelligence Unit. Andrea, thanks.
Thank you.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Microsoft. offering cloud computing for businesses with solutions for managing the transition to the cloud while managing costs for customers at Microsoft.com/cloud services. By Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing, online surveys, and event marketing. ConstantContact.com. And by Trusted Choice Independent Insurance Agents, offering a choice of companies and coverage. You can find a local agent at 1-800-WE-INSURE.
Today, the American Academy of Allergy, Asthma, and Immunology wraps up its annual meeting in New Orleans. One of the main topics there is how global warming may be making allergies worse. From the Sustainability Desk, here's Marketplace's Caitlin Carroll.
Gesundheit. More of us may be sneezing in coming years. Italian research shows that hotter weather and higher carbon dioxide levels lead plants to produce more pollen. Jeffrey DeMaine is medical director of the Allergy, Asthma, and Immunology Center of Alaska. He says more than one in four people now struggle with allergies, and global warming is partly to blame.
So we're seeing longer durations of pollen, and then we're seeing in some cases higher intensity of pollen.
All those runny noses mean solid profits for drug companies, since allergies affect people of all ages, and the drugs are readily available over the counter. Jim Unland is editor of the journal Healthcare Finance.
So if I'm sitting in a pharmaceutical company and I look at something like this, it's like a cat walking into a chicken coop.
The U.S. market for allergy medications should reach $15 billion by 2015. Those numbers are nothing to sneeze at. I'm Caitlin Carroll for Marketplace.
And finally, the Oscars are Sunday, and Korean automaker Hyundai is a major TV sponsor. Actor Jeff Bridges is their voiceover guy, but he's also up for an Oscar for his role in Crazy Heart. The people who put on the Oscars say, oh, that's a no-no. Hyundai says, not a problem, we've got a supporting cast that can take his place. Martin Sheen, Kim Basinger, David Duchovny, Richard Dreyfuss. The Hyundai marketing guy says, quote, we'll be happy to return to our normal casting after the show. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.